panel will be giving input within a matter of weeks or a month or two.
This is a public, Grace, this is a public meeting.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
This is Robin for the stack.
Robin, go ahead.
Well, I propose that the chair, vice chair, and secretary meet with the IED when that person is hired to kind of review the strategic plans that have been worked on by the committee in the past and get the new IED's input on suggestions of, you know, how to focus it a little bit. And bring that back to the next strategic planning, because hopefully the IED will be able to come to the next meeting.
Yes, I hope so, too. Okay, anything further?
Bill?
Yes, Bill.
Well, I was just going to suggest if anybody wants to contribute some additional goals or strategies, either for the two goals I put out as a start or any other goals, and I think, like you were saying, Alex, that branding is really important. We need to be thinking how we can, especially to have more political influence and more to really fulfill our mission, we need to be recognized, and so that people know Pacifica is the place to go to hear, you know, different points of view on whatever it is. But if you want to send me suggestions, just put strategic plan somewhere in the subject line, and I'll try to collect those. And then I agree, we can talk to the new IED about this too, as well as with this committee.
Okay. So,
question, Nancy.
Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Could you resend that email? I'm looking at something that says specific strategic planning suggestions from June 24th. Is that the email you're talking about?
I sent a follow-up.
There was an email Bill sent out today.
I could read
it real quick. Do you want me to read it for the benefit of people listening?
No, if he sent it out, I thought he was referring to something that he sent about a month ago.
No.
If he's referring to something he sent today, I'll just look at that. No need to resend it.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay, so let's move on to the next, and the last agenda item are bylaws amendments. I thought we'd at least begin a discussion on that, and we're interested in bylaws amendments insofar as they contribute to our overall strategic plan of making Pacifica more self-sustainable and increasing our, not only our economic profile, but our public profile. Who wants to begin that discussion, Bill? I think you have some ideas on this.
Actually, sorry, I'm forwarding that to Nancy right now. If you could let somebody else talk first, and then I'll come back.
Sorry, thanks. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this discussion we're having something that we're going to put in our strategic plan?
Well, our strategic plan does include streamlining Pacifica's governance structure so that, you know, we are better able to handle our fiscal situation. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me just start off the discussion there.
Whenever you want to get back to me.
Yeah, there's a couple of obvious places where we could, well, I shouldn't say obvious. If it was all that obvious, it would have been done long ago, I guess. But there are a couple of bylaws amendments that are doable, that I think are reasonably doable, that we could implement, that could save us a bunch of money, and that is, number one, to have less frequent elections. And I'm thinking, for instance, instead of 2 out of 3 year elections, we could have elections maybe twice every 4 years. That would be pretty much an instant money saver. And the other area, well, what do people think about that? And do they think this is a reasonable idea? And of course, it would also mean that we have to make some changes in the terms of office and things like that. What do people think about that?
Bill for the stack.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, that would help some, a little bit. I've been talking about this some for a year or two and been kind of collecting suggestions, and also the governance committee, I asked people to send in ideas at the last meeting last month. And, you know, a lot of us are looking at more major bylaws changes needed. I think some smaller ones we need to stabilize. We need to change the way we fill vacancies. I think that's clearly been exploited by people that and encouraged people to increase disruptions and personal attacks on people and things like that in order that their friends who might be distant runners-up would eventually be seated. But I think we need to reduce the size of our boards. We need to somehow make our boards functional. The reputation of our local station boards and our P&B is pretty awful, and it's working better right now than it's been in the last few years, but there's no guarantee it will stay that way. And even with, you know, it's not working as badly as it was, I think it's still too big. It's really unwieldy, especially when we're meeting by phone. It's just difficult for us to do any early problem solving in these large kind of meetings. Those are just some examples. But I'm hoping that people will be sending more suggestions on amendments or bylaws revisions for the governance committee also, which is meeting this Wednesday. And people can send them to me.
Okay. Anybody else?
Grace,
go ahead.
I hear the complaints about the bylaws, and I don't disagree. However, there are problems that have not been answered when we consider shrinking the size of the board, because this is a very complex organization. And the first thing that would happen would be, if the boards are shrunk, is that most likely the people who would be elected are older and have been on the boards for a long time, and it will mean aging of the boards. Having larger boards and, for instance, committee meetings, the committees serve as incubators for grooming age is not really pertinent, but newer people who board members, and getting them acclimated to Pacifica and to the bylaws and to different duties of a board member so that they can graduate, so to speak, to the national board. So if everything is made smaller, I mean, I'm not saying it can't be done, but we have to figure out how does all the functioning work. And until we have a lot more staff in the national office, for instance, we are burdened with a lot of work being done by the board. So, for instance, we have to have a finance committee. We have to have an audit committee right there. That's a lot of people needed to review the audits, to hire auditors, to take care of the pension plan situations, and so on and so forth. The finance committee should be reviewing the numbers. And so putting the burden of a lot of committee work onto strategic planning, for instance, what would happen is if we cut the national board in half, which theoretically sounds fantastic, it means that a very few people are going to be have a mountain of work. So I just don't see the practicality of it. I have to. I think I'm a very practical person, and I don't. I'd like to know who's going to handle the audits, who's going to handle the finance committee, who's going to handle strategic planning, who's going to handle the elections, who's going to deal with this, who's going to do all those different things, who's going to make sure that PNB resolutions are implemented, and things like that. So that's my concern. Not theoretically, everything is wonderful in a theoretical world, but what are the practical implications of doing this type of downsizing? I'm not sure that it makes sense. I'm not sold on it. I need to have somebody tell me who is going to do all the tasks that are being done now by a lot of people and any board. If it's a smaller board, there will probably be a certain percentage of people who do next to nothing. That's, you know, they didn't sign up for a 30-hour week job when they joined the board. So let's say you have a 12 or 13-person board. That will put the burden, I would estimate, on onto five or six people who would have to do a huge amount of overseeing of the foundation. I'm not even talking about staff work. I'm talking about board work. So I just don't see the practicality of it in the real world. But I could be wrong. I don't see it. This is a very large and complicated conglomerate. Basically, it's not one radio station. It's an important network.
Robin to the stack.
Go ahead, Robin.
Well, one question I have, I don't have any answer to it, but when I've seen the proposals for reducing the size of the board, how are you going to keep the balance between staff members of the board and listener members of the board? I'm kind of worried that we would end up with almost half staff, and really it shouldn't be staff supervising staff. So that's a worry I have. I mean, I don't really have an answer, but a question I have.
Let me just interject one other thing here. However you feel whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, reducing the size of the board is something that I'm pretty sure will take a membership referendum to do. That's not the kind of bylaws amendment that you can just get through by the approval of three of our local station boards and the national board. And getting a general referendum passed by the Pacifica membership on something like that, I think is going to be very, very difficult, just from a practical point of view. So even if I thought it was a good idea, I don't know how practical it would be to try to implement it. Anybody else?
Well, Bill, again, if I can respond, but yes, if Bill, people want to go first, that's fine. Well, some of the bylaws amendments that were proposed, you know, last year, for example, regarding the listener versus staff, let me just back up. If you do a little analysis, if you want to keep the ratio the same as it is now with three listeners to every one staff person, and if you want to alternate term so that you elect half the board each time, talking about the local boards, then the local boards need to be a multiple of 8. So right now they're 24. It could be reduced to 16 or 8 and still keep the same ratios, for example, and still have staggered board terms. That's just one example. There was also an amendment proposed to reduce the size of the national board, and that would not have specified numbers of staff members, but limit it so that no more than one staff member per station would be elected. That's just one possibility. Some people feel that paid staff shouldn't be on the national board at all anyway because of potential conflicts of interest. But those are just some other things. But you would need a membership vote if you change the ratio of listener and staff delegates I don't believe you'd need that for the PNB, though. Okay, I'm done for now.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I would also, I think Grace brings up some good points there. If you reduce the size of the either the local board or the national board, where are you going to get the volunteers to be on our finance committee, on our audit committee, on our strategic planning committee? You know, other organizations, a lot of this work gets done through their staff, or they have more of a structure for getting volunteers to do things. We pretty much rely on the people who get onto our national board or our local boards to do, not all of this volunteer work, but a good 80-90% of it. And where are those people going to come from if you reduce the size of these boards? It's a good question. I think we have to think about that one.
This is Donald Sistak.
Yeah, Donald.
I'm just curious about how many people on the national board are actively involved in helping the radio network on a day-to-day basis as directors of the foundation.
Are you asking how many people are take their responsibility seriously rather than being a seat warmer? Is that your question?
Yeah, it's part of the question. And the other part of the question is, what are they actually doing as directors?
Yeah, it's a good question.
For example, how many of them have raised thousands of dollars to assist the foundation, et cetera? Just throwing out an example.
Yeah, well, let me just try to answer that a little bit. I mean, as you probably know, in any organization, if you have, any volunteer-driven organization, and we are a volunteer-driven organization, even though we have elections, so it's a combination of elections and volunteers, let's say, there's always going to be a certain percentage of people who get into certain positions that really they don't do very much. And that's usually a majority, by the way, of whatever, whether you're talking about a committee or a board or something. And then the rest of the people, some of them do a lot more than others. Some of them do less. You know, it's just the way it is with any body like this. So, I don't know what the exact number would be in terms of the Pacifica board or any of our local boards, but, you can be sure that there are less people or active than are actually sitting on these boards. And then of those that are active, some of them are a lot more active than others. Does that answer your question a little bit?
I have a comment too.
Go ahead.
The thing is, you probably going to be very disappointed to find out that's a very hard question to answer. I think a lot of people, in speaking to Donald's direct point, I guess get so consumed with their own things that they're dealing with, if they have a station that they're working on, particularly if you're an affiliate. I know for myself personally, I got into this, I wanted to be on the board because I thought I could make a difference, not only in my community, but outwardly to the larger community. And it's been a struggle, to say the least, because you not only dealing with things that you're trying to implement locally, but to have any impact in this platform is almost non-existent, or at least you feel that way. But I'm the kind of person where I don't necessarily take no for an answer. and always wanting to put one foot in for the other to try and bring about some progress and some change. And so it is a hard dance that you have to do, so to speak. But if you want to get more involved, you just have to jump right in there. And I look forward to working with you guys on a lot of the things that could, maybe definitely make Pacifica as an organization better. But I believe really that we're underutilizing the affiliate program. And that's where I feel like I could be most, utilized and helping in that larger point. So I just think it's going to be very hard for you to quantify an answer to your question, because people get into these positions, it's a personal thing. It's something that they have to look inwardly to find that answer.
Yeah, just one more thing I wanted to say. I don't mean to suggest that people who are on our boards who are less active than other people, I don't mean to imply any negative judgment about those people, because we all have different responsibilities and different capabilities, and we're all in a different place in our life. And some people are able to be more active than others, and so on. So it's not there's not necessarily any negative judgment implied there. It's just that in any kind of group like this, there are going to be people who are going to be more active than others that are going to be less active.
The reason I posed the question the way I did is there were questions about what are effective sizes of boards of directors, of getting work done, of actually accomplishing things or not accomplishing things. And I'm just raising it as a question to ponder, whether having a board of 22 people really is serving the foundation effectively. It's a question.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it's a question you have to look at if you want to really bring about some change. So I'm agreeing with you, Donald.
Thank you, Gary.
Bill.
Okay.
Nancy,
go ahead.
Yeah, so as to how people get on these boards, I mean, we all know people are recruited for their votes. And if we change the way that we recruit people for their skills and their experience and their connections, what could they bring to the board, regardless of how they're going to vote, we might be able to do with smaller boards. But if we continue to recruit people because they're going to vote the way we want them to, then we're going to still have that, we're going to need bigger boards, because only some of them will have the skills and the experience and connections that we need to get the work done.
Did you want to say anything more, Gary?
Yeah, I wanted to say something to that point. So is it a question of it being more or less political? Because, I may... And that's the part that I don't like, because I really, and if you're going to go that route, that means that the board size is always going to be, humongous, right? And I don't like the political side of it. I vote my conscience. And so that's me though. Everybody is different.
Bill for the stack.
Bill, go ahead.
I think Nancy made a really good point. We have, looking at our local station boards, she's right. A lot of people are recruited just because we need people to fill all the seats. And So if we recruit on that basis, then we're going to end up with people that really don't have the time or interest in doing much other than just coming to meetings. And I forget who asked that earlier. I think, yeah, way over half our boards, our local boards and also our national board is that category. People just don't have the time. It's really difficult. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the original idea, I think, of having large boards is that you could bring in more points of view. But that doesn't work. If there's not enough time for everybody to talk, even for half the people to talk, and people tend to divide up into factions no matter what it is, so you really don't bring in that many different points of view. And so I think you'd be much better off with a smaller board, say a national board that's smaller, and also smaller national committees. This committee is functional because it's not so big. You get to a committee the size of the audit committee, for example, and it gets really unwieldy just because it's physically so large. And you don't need 15 people to populate a committee like that. I mean, it's almost as big as the PNB. And some of our other national committees are like that also. You want people on the board and on the committees. The committees are where the work takes place. And even the work, actually even committees, it's mostly organizing and reporting and planning. The work takes place outside the committee. So what you should be doing is recruiting people, as Nancy was saying, who really want to help with a specific thing. And maybe just recruit people for specific committees. You shouldn't have to be on even a national board or a local board. If you really want to help with a committee, let's find a way of putting people to work on that. And make the board smaller so they can be more functional. And I tell you, we've had really bad problems with people disrupting meetings. It makes it even harder to get those people that Nancy was talking about who have special skills or abilities and want to use them. If they have to sit through these ridiculously long meetings where we fuss and fight with each other and don't get anything done. But Grace has good points too. We need to address how we're going to resolve these issues. But I don't think we should necessarily assume that you're always going to have a high percentage of people that don't do anything. I think our big boards encourage that, because people know that there's going to be other people who can do the work, and all they have to do is come to the meetings. And we'd be better off putting those people to work on the specific things they're interested in, you know, whether it's, you know, a particular committee or a particular way of helping, you know, with fundraising or whatever else it might be. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Bill, let me just comment. I think you just indicated something. Maybe it's the elephant in the room. I don't know if the problem is our committees are too big or too small. The problem is that we have people getting on our committees who have hostile intentions for the work of those committees, the work of Pacifica. And we have people who get on these committees, disrupt them, and are rude, and make it very difficult for these committees to function. And I don't think that has all that much to do with how big or how small they are. I think it's the quality of some of the people who get on these committees. And how to fix that is a good question, but I think that's kind of the elephant in the room. We have some bad actors around here.
Both factions. Yeah.
I'm not selective. I'm just saying we have some bad actors.
I'll agree with you, Alex.
And it, yep.
Okay, I agree with that, if you agree with both factions.
Well, I wish I had an easy solution to that, but I'm just putting it out there. I don't have an easy solution to it. All right, anybody else?
Well, part of the... I'm sorry, Nancy.
Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Just to try to be encouraging, is part of getting to the solution is identifying what the problems are. So you can't solve it until you face what is it that's contributing to the problem.
True.
Which, you know, it's multiple things, but a couple things have just been identified. So what problems are we trying to solve by changing the size you know, just changing the size isn't going to address the problem, the problems of the bigger ones, if other recruiting, I mean, there's other things that contribute to the problems, not just the size, and a couple of those things have just been identified. That's good. I'm saying that's good that people agree on that those are problems.
Okay.
Well, I want to say one more thing about that. I'm sorry. And if I could be honest, I'm being completely transparent, or completely honest. When I first came on the board, Alex, I think I would have agreed with you that there were a lot of bad actors, people that's just trying to make the process difficult, people that's just trying to, you know, throw stuff in the fire to make the fire bigger and stuff like that. And then I started to change midway through this process, because I see that a lot of those quote unquote bad actors, they actually have a point. And there are certain issues that have come about on this board that are not properly dealt with. And you see those problems replicated in the real world by certain people. It's better not to deal with a problem than it is to deal with it straightforward. So I think by convincing yourself that a problem doesn't exist, it will make it more easy for someone to say that so-and-so is a bad actor. And I've gone through this process, and I could tell you that I'm not a bad actor. I'm a real person, but I noticed my voting, it has changed because I realize the same problems that are in the real world are replicated on this board and the national board, that is. And so I think it's time for a real conversation to be had, and I think you will find a more easy to deal with board. A lot of those bad actors, you see, if you can find a middle ground, that there is some room for discussion there.
I agree with
your point,
Nancy.
Did you want to say anything more, Nancy?
Sure. I agree with Gary's point. Oh, what was that, Alex? Sorry.
We're actually out of time, but you can finish up what you wanted to say.
I agree with Gary's point, and but there are some bad actors that are just kind of disruptive, that don't even understand what's going on, but they are bad actors because they're with a faction that encourages them to be disruptive for whatever purpose. And but then there are those who are disruptive because they're frustrated and they don't have any other avenue for expressing their views, because a lot of the business, one of the problems is a lot of the business in Pacifica is done outside of these meetings, in these factional meetings. So they're sort of like two different executive committees or three different executive committees, and nobody knows what goes on in those executive committees. But there's an executive committee, the majority faction, and they decide what's going to happen ahead of time, and then they bring it to the PNB meeting, and there's no discussion because the decision's already been made in private. And so the quote-unquote bad actors are very frustrated, and they cannot even have their point of view listened to, because the decision's already been made. And this happens all the time. So that's a problem that needs to be dealt with.
Okay, I don't know if we can go on with this discussion since we're out of time. Nancy, let me just say one thing there. I was presented sitting on the board earlier by that actress in another faction.
Oh, Alex, you're breaking up. Sorry, I can't hear you. We can't hear you.
I was prevented in 2016. I was elected to the board, and I never got to sit on the board because of the actions of a certain faction on the board. So these kind of things have been going on for a long time. And if you're saying there's lack of trust, I would agree with you. I think it's certainly improved this year over previous years. It's much improved.
I don't think so.
yeah. Okay. You're entitled to your opinion. But anyway, there's no question there that we have issues with trust on our boards, and perhaps there are misunderstandings, and perhaps some people misbehave because of some of these misunderstandings. But anyway, I don't know how much more we can get into this now, but I think it's good that we at least began a discussion on that.
I want to say one more quick thing. That's why I really like attending the strategic planning committees, because everyone is respectful and everyone's point is heard. And I wish that the national board could really implement a lot of what happens here. It really is a good thing. And I think moving forward, it'll probably get better if we all, I think, try to meet in the middle. So.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. That's a nice thought. I think we are out of time unless anybody wants to move to extend time. If not, then this meeting is adjourned.
Next meeting date?
I have it posted. Let me look it up. I don't remember. It should be in 2 weeks, I believe, but let me just check.
Okay, if it's posted, that's fine.
Let me see. Move to monthly view. Maybe it's not posted yet. I will post it. It should be... We're supposed to meet on the second and fourth week of the month. And this is the fourth week in July, so we'll be meeting on the second Monday of August, whatever that is.
The 12th.
Let me ask one question. Would it be okay with the other committee members if we met earlier? And this is mainly to accommodate me, because I am in Europe, and this is an incredibly strange hour for me. If we met like 3 hours earlier, would that be possible?
That is not possible for me. This is Donald.
That is not possible. What about 2 hours or 1 hour earlier even?
Nope. I have prior commitments.
Okay. Then we'll just leave it the way it is. Okay, then we're gonna adjourn now. And good night, everybody. Thank you for contributing.
Good night.
Thank you all.